Hello, a very warm welcome to Fireside Chats. I am Magla Pillay, and today's topic is a fascinating one entitled Vulnerability. On this series, we ask you, the viewer, to look at subjects like the core of spirituality, whether God plays a role in your life in any way whatsoever, whether there's a balance between your internal and external world, whether the problems in your life is something that you can manage, or has everything and everyone become too much for you. The beauty of a program such as this, the beauty of a series such as this, is we address problems and issues that most people think do not even have a vocabulary to address. To this end, I'd like to introduce you to Sister Denise. Sister Denise, very warm welcome to today's show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Vulnerability. The thought of discussing this makes one want to cringe. Why is that?
I think it's connected with ego. And you can afford to be vulnerable when you have destroyed your ego. And what your ego does is it's like a mask that covers the self, which is very vulnerable, which may be very hurt, damaged, traumatized, or whatever, and which may also have shame bound into the trauma, which means that in order for you to survive, you must make yourself invulnerable. And I think a lot of people are in that state, more or less. And so the idea of vulnerability is something that is very troubling. Because it means that you're exposed and somebody might see that you're not enough, or you're not, you know, you'd be naked and you feel just awful in that state.
Sister Denise, define ego for us. How do you see it? What does it mean to you?
Well, it can be defined in a number of ways, but one very important way is it's a mask that substitutes for the real self. And when the self has been damaged, affected, shamed, or something like this, traumatized, that is when it creates this mask of ego, which is the substitute for the real self. What people do in that situation is they present the mask and they say, this is me, relate to this. And if somebody says, you know, excuse me, this is just a wall, I want in, you'll say, no, there's no wall, what are you talking about? So there'd be denial connected with it as well.
See? Sister Denise, does one not develop an ego as a response to pain?
Well, exactly. It is a response to pain. Trauma, shame, I mean, big pain.
Okay, the reason I'm asking you this is, isn't an ego necessary? Because we can't be vulnerable to pain all the time. No one can live that way.
I think
ego,
that you're
does
right.
Does ego have a purpose? Does it have a...
It's a defense. It's your security arrangement.
So we cannot live in this world without a minister of defense, can
exactly.
we?
Well, the thing is, the way this world is, everybody has found it necessary to put on all of this armor. But do you want to live like that forever?
Oh, are you saying you think you're the armor and you forgot your real self?
Yes.
Okay, so the problem is not having the armor. The problem is thinking you the armor. So it's okay to have the armor as long as you know this is you and this is your protection.
Yes, what happens is the person gets fused with the armor. And then, you know, if anything happens to the armor, it happens to you. I think the process of considering oneself or one's vulnerability is a process of pulling back from the armor and saying it's okay if the armor is taken down or chinked or whatever, because I am not it, but I am, you know, a tortoise without a shell or something like this. So there are, you know, in nature, when you have creatures that are very vulnerable, they tend to look for places of protection, because the world that we are in now, whether it's the human world or the natural world, is the world of predators and prey.
So, Sister Denise, you've told us what the difference is between the ego and the shadow self and the real self. Now, how does one go about reinstilling one's understanding and one's experience of the real I, as opposed to the shell?
I think that what you have to do in order to drop the ego mask is you have to come into your power, because when you're not in your power, you can't afford to drop the ego mask. So just tearing off the ego mask and exposing this vulnerable little person is
dangerous.
Well, it's dangerous, it's courageous, but maybe it's not so intelligent. Because if you're if you're really vulnerable, then you are wise to create some protection. But the thing is, you don't want to be, you know, locked up in armor all the time. You want to be able to, okay, if you're going out to war, put your armor on, but then when you come home, take it off, you see. But what happens is the war zone is everywhere and you never take it off, so that you lose contact with yourself. And I think the important thing is to work on your own spiritual development, which means you have to really fill yourself, because the self is really running on empty, really depleted and contaminated. And so you need to fill yourself with light, with power, with love, with all of the different things, so that you can start to feel yourself in your power. And then you can actually have what's known as the ego death.
Hmm. Is it the aim of your spiritual practice to make yourself invulnerable? Is some bit of vulnerability still left? Is are you making yourself immune to all pain, all hurt?
I think it's not really like that. I think rather than becoming invulnerable, you become invincible, which is different.
Nice.
But your vulnerability is, in a sense, not that vulnerable. It's just that you can drop all of your protective gear, and because you're in your power, you are not afraid of dropping your protective gear. And it's that kind of vulnerability where you can afford to be soft, and you can afford to be like deeply honest and show your feelings and show your heart, because whatever happens, even if somebody does, you know, do something that could be otherwise unbearable when you're not strong, you can flex with it. So it's not a big deal for you to expose yourself in your soft and sweet self. You know, that is just as accessible to you and to those that you choose to show it to as your different other masks, you know.
Mr. Denise, we've spoken theory up until now. Tell us what you mean when you say that we drop the ego veneer. What exactly are you referring to? What is it that we drop? What is it that makes up the ego itself? Like what? Give me a practical example.
I think it's to do with when you play a role, together with that role comes a certain power, a certain authority. So it is a face that you show, which is powerful. And if you are hiding behind that, you can't afford to drop it. But if you're not hiding, you're just using it according to circumstances, and you can shift from one mask to another quite easily, because the unmasked self is just as good, if not better, than any of the masks you use. Because you're not using the mask as a substitute for yourself. You're using the mask to perform different roles, which you have every right to perform. You're an actor.
Okay, so when he retires, and after 30 years, when he no longer has the title of being the head of department of mathematics at his local university, he does not feel disenfranchised. Is that what you're saying?
No, but what they do is they call him emeritus.
Okay, professor's not yes, okay.
That he okay. has a sort of substitute for the substitute.
Okay, a stay-at-home mum whose children whose last born has left home. She no longer has anyone to look after, so that role of mother has now become empty.
Yeah, well, then she's looking for grandchildren.
Okay, so
you see what I'm saying is, yes. You're always trying to find something to replace the one that's gone.
Okay.
Because you don't want to drop them.
Okay.
Because so what you don't have contact with your inner self.
Okay, so what you're saying is you're playing the role of the mother, but it's not your identity.
When you are in your power, you will never say, I'm just a housewife, or I am, you know, the mother of, wife of, so-and-so, so-and-so. You know, you're not identifying with those masks. And you're able to go into a role or out of it just as easily. You can drop it just as easily. You can take it on. That is the practice of spirituality. You come into action, perform something, withdraw, go back into your inner state of peace, your ground of being, and stay there until you want to come out and do something else. Mm. So the example for this is given as the tortoise, who comes, you know, retracts from the shell to do something and then comes back in. So this is known as the internalized state, where you are anyway resourcing yourself spiritually in between actions, where your energy is going out, you know.
Mm. Sister Denise, somebody who is really, really strong, actual strength, internal strength, on the outside, are they butch and solid and or are they soft? What is how can you recognize real spiritual strength? Because there's so many kinds of strength.
Sure. Yeah. I think when someone's in their power, they don't need to show their power.
Mm.
They are not power hungry. They have power. I know I'm powerful. That's good enough for me. Somebody who wants to be powerful or wants to be known to be powerful has to put on the performance of being powerful to make out. You see, so that's real, unreal. And therefore, you're, you know, by default, confessing that you're weak, like a person who operates using violence. You see, a person who's spiritually aware will know that someone who's violent is weak. Someone who's powerful, they don't need to be violent. It's completely meaningless, you see, because your power, your solidity, which can very well take a soft form, but it will get done what it wants to get done, because that is real power.
Whether you're spiritual or not, if you want to befriend a person and that person does not want to be your friend, in other words, you put out and when you don't get back, you get hurt, whether you're spiritual or not, doesn't that make you feel bad? Doesn't that make you feel why did I bother in the first place? And doesn't that give you a feeling of the wrong type of vulnerability? And how do you protect yourself against something like that? That's the first part of my question. The second part is somebody who's spiritual, do they protect themselves all the time?
if you're spiritually strong, you're in your power, why do you need to protect yourself? What's dangerous? You have powers. You can deal with whatever comes through your powers, you see. The first part of your question, you'd better remind me about it.
Approach somebody
to be your friend.
And that person doesn't feel the same way. Now, it's a very deep human feeling. To feel put out.
Yes.
Yes, you feel rejected.
Nobody likes to be rejected, but when you are in your power and somebody rejects you, you're not going to interpret it as, oh my goodness, maybe I'm not okay, and take it that way. Somebody rejects you, you say, well, they have every right to reject me, and it's no skin off my nose to be rejected by this person. Maybe tomorrow they'll think again. If I'm really interested, I try again a few times. I mean, it doesn't really matter, because I'm not dependent on that person liking me or accepting me, because I like myself, you know. Mm. It's good enough. Mm. I know that I'm loved by God. Mm. That's enough. If somebody doesn't like me, it's their problem, not mine. Mm. I'm okay.
You're saying that somebody who's spiritually empowered or in their zone can handle life's knocks, and you won't lose your balance because of it.
Right.
Okay. So, Sister Denise, God, bring him into this picture for us, specifically in, as far as your vulnerability is concerned. Does God, when you're with God, do you feel, not you specifically, when one is with God, does one feel vulnerable? Does one feel, I wonder what's coming now?
Not possible, because you are with the Almighty, you are with the ocean of love, you are with the intelligence of the wise, you are with the compassionate, the merciful one, you are with the peaceful one, you are with the Almighty. I mean, where's the problem? The problem is when you're alone, when you haven't created that relationship.
Facing one's karmic accounts is especially when they're intense debts. If you have a heavy karmic load on your shoulders, and you've got physical problems, financial problems, relationship problems, that can get to you. And that can make one feel very, very vulnerable, but in the wrong type of vulnerable, where you can almost feel, this is too much. What is the difference in that context between being vulnerable and feeling, well, victimized by life?
Well, you can feel all those things, but you have the option to put yourself in the hands of God and say, okay, guide me. I will do whatever you say, and I put my life in your hands, and I will not indulge in negative feelings about myself. That's the contract.
Things come to you that are very negative, loss, pain, suffering, etc., but you do not engage in a negative attitude towards it.
That's right.
Okay, so being spiritually sound means that you're the same things happen to you, but your perspective is different.
Yes. Uh-huh. And you're up for it. You know, God gives you the power of tolerance and expects you to use it. Okay. If you have, you know, there's people in this world, they have plenty of money in the bank, they forgot. They think they're poor. There's people like that. They get into a terrible state, and somebody has to say, you know, you've got £1 million there. Why didn't you just, you know, I have? Are you sure? Yeah, have a look, check, you know.
Yeah, okay.
There's a lot of people like that. They have resources they don't remember, or they have conveniently forgotten, or whatever. It's as if you kind of want to be in a bad situation. So you have to really wake up and realize that you have plenty more resources than you think, and you've just been caught up in an awful lot of feelings and thoughts about yourself, where you just think that you're terribly weak and vulnerable and so on, but it's not true.
Sudanese, I once heard it said that somebody who has suffered a traumatic childhood, or be it rejection, abandonment, who's been brutalized, grows up to be, if nothing else, an emotionally violent adult. Not necessarily physically violent, but emotional violence. That is a response to the feeling of being vulnerable and victim as a child. Yes. Now, if you're carrying that legacy, okay, and you have an interest in spirituality for no other reason than to offset your own pain, how do you make the transition from your past to being somebody who is spiritually empowered? Walk me through that, please.
There has to be a starting point where you put yourself in the hands of God and say, okay, I will take this risk. It's kind of risk. I'll put myself in the hands of God and I will follow the instructions and see what happens. Like, absolute risk. And if you do that, step by step, baby step by baby step, you start to come out of the problem. You need to be in it for the long haul. You need to be in good company. You need to start doing good karma. You need to start having positive thoughts. But baby steps, one after another, you carry on, and then you will be attacked by doubt and different storms, and you have to just, you know, keep on going and keep on saying, no, I'm committed to this way because this, I understand, is my way out of it. And then you can come out of it. I think the difficulty is that people give up
on themselves.
Give up on themselves, they lose faith, they lose hope, you know, because they're not so strong. But if you just, you know, explain to yourself that no, all I have to do is put one foot in front of the other and just go one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, and just keep doing it, you will find that you cover the terrain and you get somewhere, and then you can find your strength.
Okay, so Denise, you see, when the average person feels vulnerable, when I feel vulnerable, I think there's something wrong, and I want to put it right, because it's a very uncomfortable feeling, because you feel, oh God, something might go wrong at any moment. What do you say to that?
Well, the thing is, when you're vulnerable, it makes you afraid. So when you're afraid, you have two choices. You can be courageous or cowardly. So the problem is not really the reality of feeling vulnerable, is the secondary feeling, which is the fear, which is the problem, because then you could either go coward or courage. And what you need to practice is, okay, vulnerable, fear, go to courage. Okay. Go to God, whatever. You create these steps for yourself so that when it comes up, you know what to do. Do it.
Okay. Thank you so much for your words of wisdom. It's been most interesting and enlightening. Thank you. So there you have it, the subject of vulnerability. If you're feeling all soft and mushy on the inside, know that you are not alone. And the fact that you're feeling vulnerable is not necessarily a bad thing. And what Sister Denise was saying, that instead of trying to fix up your vulnerability using the methods that you have done in the past, or using things, or crutches, using the wrong things to make yourself strong, rather be aware of your spiritual identity, go to God, and take power from Him, and learn how to be stronger, because vulnerability is not necessarily a weakness or a vice. It's simply a message to become a better you. Interesting subject, I think I particularly enjoyed the fact that Sister Denise didn't specify that vulnerability belonged either to male or female. Both are capable of feeling same. So if you feel that this is your reality, you can strengthen yourself on the inside, where it matters the most. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you've learned something from today's topic. I know I did. And we hope to see you soon. Thank you and goodbye.